NYC Today online magazine evolves. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Live in New York, but broadcasting everywhere. NYC Today, live talk radio, hot topics, family and relationships, interviews with interesting people, music from amazing artists that you may not have heard on the radio until now, and so much more. Now for your host, Janelle, and her co-hosts, Lauren, Kim, Unique, and Sandman.
Hello, hello, and it's your girl Janelle, and welcome to our very last Saturday show featuring the wonderful Miss Ida Divine. But first, we have a very, very special lady that is celebrating her birthday today, and we definitely want to say happy birthday to Miss Shasha. Happy birthday. We love you.
Happy birthday, Sasha.
Happy birthday.
Celebrant. Where are you? Show yourself. Where are you?
Yeah.
Happy birthday. I hope you do so. Pop your wine and pop your wine.
Surprise, happy birthday! Oh my goodness!
Woo! All right, we're back. And what is coming up here? Or, I'm sorry, what is coming up, Lauren? What is coming up, Lauren? I think we're having a little technical difficulty. So coming up, we've got Ida Divine and her new music. We will be talking about her album and everything. We will be giving away, well, she will be giving away some amazing shoes. And so I want you to stay tuned for that. And then afterwards, she will be joining us as we talk about what it's like to be a black girl and versus Rachel Dolezal versus Zoe Kravitz. So we're gonna get into that. But first, we got a new song by Ida Divine called "Fruit of Eden." Let's enjoy.
Yeah.
That was Miss Ida Devine with Sweet of Eden. Hey, Cass, what's going on?
Hey, Jay, how's it going?
How's y'all week been? Y'all been gone for a while, so how's everybody doing?
So far, so good. It's finally hot.
Okay. All right, we got Miss Ida Devine, and, man, I saw this amazing woman at SOB's, and she was performing, and I had to have her on the show. And so she's here today, and we're all excited. And people around the world have also been able to glean from her music, embrace some of her hit songs, like Growing Up, Grow Up, Time, Ida Devine, and Sometimes, from California all the way back here to New York, Kenya, Ghana, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Canada, Australia, Paris, UK, and Poland. And I kind of omitted some. There are more. Her single was picked up by Music Choice, iTunes Noteworthy Artist of Two. She has performed with the Lakeside, Lady Shaw, Rec One, Dead Prez, Rudy Curran, Sunshine, one of my favorites, Sunshine Anderson, and Naughty by Nature. She has won Best Mixtape for a Best Mixtape release called 1979, Best Female R&B Artist in 2012. For the Queen City Awards. She was nominated by Heinous TV for her best cover and produced a rendition of the recordings of Poison. She was featured in four magazines and Say It Deal, Observer, On Hip Hop, The Examiner, On Smash, again, Heinous TV, and Rodney Perry Live. Tawana Blake of Urban Times Media, she refers to her, she says, under the spotlight, Ida yielded a stardom. Her aura was far from transient. She was like a rare orchard in blossom. Much like the budding flora wrapped around her neck. She has a tattoo of like a flower pattern wrapped around her neck, and she was undeniably beautiful. And I have to agree that her music is equally matched with her presence. And today, a lucky caller will be able to win her new CD, Molecular Legato, and a pair of amazing Reebok shoes, collector's edition floral pattern. You can see that on the event page. We posted there. Miss Ida Devine.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing? Hi. I had a long night, obviously. Yeah, I had a very long night. I was in Harlem last night at a dinner party, and then it was all musicians there. Everyone had just come off tour from the Netherlands, and so they were kind of decompressing, and someone just started playing a piano, and then someone started playing the drums, and then someone just started playing a tambourine, and then long before we knew it, we had a home concert, and it was awesome. So that ended at 4 a.m., so that's why I sound a little like still drumming or whatever. So
it's okay. It's a Saturday.
You
sound great. You know, Saturday, Friday. I was out late too on Friday, so but you know what? Your music is a powerful thing, and it's very creative. Not your style of music. To me, your music is different from anyone that I had ever heard. But your aura resembles that of like an Erykah Badu. Not so much that you dress like her, but you have that kind of presence. So,
that wavelength, that very, it's I think a lot of what Erica does is try to present messages that she gets from the Creator to us in a way that we can feel it and it not be undeniable. And it definitely, she's one of my inspirations in presenting the messages through music. And I just do it in my way, but it resembles Lauren as well, and Jill, and all those soul singers. And I think it is soul music, but it's soul music for this era. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, you've accomplished a lot. You've been, you know, I would think you've been doing, I actually been telling her, oh, she's been in the game. She's not new to the game. She's been in there years and years. And then as I was reading your bio, I'm like, oh, she did all of that in 5 years? Man.
Yeah, it wasn't long, yeah. Actually, it was 2010, so, yeah, about 6 years now. After my math, right? 2010, when I started to rap. I was rapping even before that because I'm from Staten Island, and I thought that I was going to be, like, the 10th female member of Wu-Tang, but anyway, that never happened. So after that, I started singing, but I raised my kids, single mom, and then a little bit down the road, one of my sons, my older son, he, you know, I would sing around him all the time, and he was just like, Mommy, you should sing. And that's when it happened, and I pursued it at that point, and it almost happened like it was supposed to happen, like, okay, you sing here, and then someone sees you, and then they want you to sing there, and then you go there, and you sing there, and then you come into this show, and you sing that, and then you might win an award, and then that opens up a door for you to go there. So it was not a had-to-fight thing. It was just the doors were opening, so I just kept walking through them. Yeah, and I'm glad they stayed open, and they continued to open for me. And I'm glad that people are accepting the music and that they like it. And it might not be ready for the radio, mainstream radio, but the mainstream radio is on some other ish right now. So I think it will have to come up to our standards, actually. We're above those standards. You guys are above those standards. So thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Lauren, your mic is open now. Welcome, Lauren, to the show.
Hello, Lauren.
You know.
Hi.
Hello, Lauren.
I just heard her. She said hi. Yeah.
Okay, we might be having some kind of something. I don't know. But who were some of your musical mentors?
Well, obviously, being from Staten Island, I would definitely say the lyricism of Wu-Tang, the production of the RZA, the lyricism of each of those guys and the way that they tell stories. So I'd say Wu-Tang, definitely Erica, definitely 3000. I love Nina Simone's presence. Her stage presence is intense. It's so intense, actually. It's almost, you know, you're just standing there. And I know this was many, many years ago before I was born, but when I watch footage of her, just the presence that she brought, you know what I mean? You can watch a YouTube video on her and just really feel how the audience was feeling while they were watching her. And I like Elle Varner as well. Mm-hmm. And I like a little bit of Future's music, and I like that Fetty Wap song, but they don't influence me. I just like to listen to that when I'm putting my makeup on. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just have to ask, which particular Fetty Wap song will get you going in the morning?
Baby, won't you come my way?
I know.
I don't know. It's something about that song that grown people really like.
Yeah.
He can sing. He can sing. He can hold a note pretty well. I mean, the lyrics or whatever are to be, you know, that's what that is. But that melody is undeniable, okay?
Undeniable. I have to
It
agree
is.
With you.
Yeah, you can't deny that.
That was great.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you don't hear, and I ask because you don't hear a lot of artists reference particular artists and songs, and like that's the song that gets me going in the morning. But it's
right.
Really good. So it's really good to hear you give props and shout outs to other artists out there like that. Because that's the song that gets
me
going in the morning.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know,
It's like coffee. Plus, you know, he hasn't been around that long, but when you hear a song, you know it's undeniable. You know mm-hmm. whether he's going to be here in 10 years or be gone in 2 months.
You know that song is right.
You know that song makes you feel a certain way, and that's all you should worry about. It doesn't make you feel like killing anybody. It just makes you feel like, you know what I mean? Like I'm getting my day started, you know?
Going.
Right. He's saying something very positive to a young lady, so it's not bad, okay? And again, the melody is undeniable.
Undeniable. I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Tell us about that name, Ida Divine. Where did that start?
All right. Well, I've been a nurse, a pediatric nurse, for over 10 years and have been Ida Divine as well. Sometimes the careers have to merge in order for you to be an artist. I mean, I don't know if there's indie artists listening, but if you have a job, that job is going to fuel your independent artist career because mm-hmm. it takes money, especially if you're not signed by a major label. But I say all of that to say one day I was at work and I was watching something on History Channel, and it was about the mob, the history of the mob, and it was talking about this particular couple named Ida and Niggy Divine, and they were a couple who was in the restaurant business in Las Vegas when Las Vegas was beginning to become popular. And they were the only meat locker in Las Vegas. So, you know, Vegas is the desert, and they needed to keep the meat and stuff cold for the restaurants, and Ida and Niggy Divine ran that meat locker. Also, the mob bosses put large amounts of money into Vegas in order for it to grow. So they had to get their investment back, and they couldn't go and get the money from Ida and Niggy. So Ida used to get on the train and get on the bus all across America and pay off these different mob bosses. And all the while she was doing this, the FBI was following her this whole time, that she would be traveling with large amounts, millions of dollars in the 40s, in the 30s and 40s when Las Vegas got started. They would chase her all around the country with these large amounts of money, and they never could catch her. So that's Ida Divine. Mm.
Oh,
that's who Ida Divine is. She's a real person, yeah.
So she is that grown woman that she was doing to...
She handles her business, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Yeah, that's the story behind that person. I was a real person. You know, she was doing what she had to do for her family, you know, like many of us do.
Exactly.
Right.
So, Al, what's going on? What can you, you know, what do you think about some of what Miss Ida Divine is?
Oh, well, you know, hey, I think she's a good artist. She's speaking very well, and I don't really know a whole lot about her stuff, what I read about her, and you know, but I think she's awesome.
Thank you. Thank
she's
you
awesome.
So much.
Yes. Okay, why don't you tell us about your album and what you want your fans to get from your music.
Okay. Well, the album that I'm giving out today is an album that is not new. It's something that I did about 2 years ago, and it's called Molecular Legato, and it was independently done. I do have a guest appearance from Inspector Deck on one of the songs, and I also have an Emmy Award poet named Ed Mabry, who has been featured on Lyrics and Flow on TV One throughout my album on it. So it is very lyric-laden, very musical, very soulful. I have acoustic joints as well as some pop joints on there. And it was all written by me. And I think that this album right here, I've been told since it's been out for 2 years now that it's kind of like a kind of like a cult, a cult album, whatever that means. Like I have,
wow.
I do, yeah, I do performances, and I'll have someone that has that album, and if I do not do one song from that album, they'll step to me after I get up the stage and be like, why didn't you do such and such?
Really?
I'm here because I wanted to hear that song and be extremely serious.
Right.
And you know what? I'll take my ass right back on the stage and be like, let's go ahead and do this. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where your fan base comes from. You know, if you go out to see someone and it's your favorite song, like I don't want to go see Erica. She's not going to do On and On or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say I don't want to see her, but I expect to see that. So
mm-hmm.
I've heard that about the album, about people who have had it. What I like people to get from my music is that I'm just another individual who creates. We all create in a way. That's why we were created to create. And people get messages from going to the museum, going to galleries, looking at paintings. They feel a certain way, and it inspires them to do something. And I just hope my music inspires people to do something, inspires
yeah.
them to inspire someone else. You know what I mean? It's a never-ending
right.
cycle. We should always be inspired to inspire someone else to do something positive. And that's if I could have that, if someone knows my lyrics, I'm happy with that. I don't need
mm-hmm.
to be Beyonce. I do like to eat organic food, so I like to eat good food. If I could have good food and have somewhere to live and go sing, I'd sing on the damn subway. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I'm happy with where I'm at. I'm happy for the doors that continue to open, and I'm happy about people that are just learning about my music as well. So I can't ask for much more. Yeah, very, very humble.
Okay.
So many of our listeners are artists themselves.
Yeah.
What are your top three tips to becoming a great artist?
Get you a job. Get you some type of income coming in, because you can't be the starving artist thing for females, black women. It's not going to work for us, because when we step on a stage, we need the lashes, we need the hair, we need the shoes. We need to look like we're not an artist, but we just, you know what I'm saying? We need to look like who we want to look like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look
mm-hmm.
good, you feel good, and that takes money,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? The starving artist image or thing, I don't think it works well for women artists. It's just me. I'm just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, artists, period, if you're independent, you should have some type of income coming in so that you can put money into your videos, you can put money into the studio, you can get that correct mix so that when they play your song on the radio, it doesn't sound crappy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You have to invest mm-hmm. in your business. That's one. Two, I believe that you should get some type of team. You should have someone on your side. You should find someone who really likes what you're doing and ask them if they will help you, if they'll help promote you, if they'll help you do what they're good at doing in helping your business
mm-hmm.
to grow, because it is a business. And sometimes artists are not good with promoting themselves. I know I'm not very good at promoting myself. What I do is I'll step up in a place and be like, oh, there's a mic there. I won't talk to anybody. I'll just go and be like, can I use this mic? And I'll start singing. I don't know how to say, hi, I'm Ida Devine. I'm a vocalist, and I do this and that. Because sometimes it sounds a little braggy to me.
Right.
I'd rather someone else do that for me, because when someone else co-signs you, it's that much better. Sometimes someone else can do that better for you. So, yeah, number two is get someone on your side to help you promote, help co-sign you. Three, I think that you should learn about this paperwork. I think knowing if you're a songwriter or if we do anything, if you draw pictures, if you write scripts, I think knowing how to own your material and have copyrights and legal information and information available to you is very, very good. Knowing about how to go forward with owning your things, because down the line you never know what can pop off and who will be like, you know what, that's mine. You know what I mean? Or
mm-hmm.
someone else assume rights to something that you created. So I think just having a good legal knowledge of what you create and owning it is very valuable for an artist. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're going to open up the phone lines. No profanity.
You can call in, everybody, at 347-205-9920. Again, that number is 347-205-9920. You can ask the question. I'm calling to ask Ida a question. She's very, as you can hear, she's very into her music and how she's getting it promoted. So call and ask her a question.
We've got several callers on the line. We've got area code 516-7214. Last four digits, 7214.
Caller,
you're on the line. Caller, you're on the line. 7214. Maybe they don't want to win. Let me reiterate. Thank you,
Jen.
Ida DeVine has some amazing shoes and her new album. You want to get that? We've been playing some of her music. Well, one of her songs, but we're going to get into some. You know what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to play another song from Miss Ida DeVine. Give you a chance to decide whether you want to speak or not. We've got at least four or five people waiting.
We would love to hear your questions, caller. Don't be shy. We don't bite. I don't think I'd bite. She didn't mention that. I bite somebody.
Listen.
The only one bite
I think
on
maybe
this
I've been watching. I've been watching too much Walking Dead. I will bite somebody.
All right. I think y'all better see that means that get on those lines.
I see something on my Instagram. Could it be you? I've been waiting for a guy I have on my Instagram.
I'm about to do what?
All right. I hope y'all enjoy Shoe Game. And
so,
she got some Shoe Game. I don't know if y'all seen her shoes or not, but she got some Shoe Game. We're back. Everybody's on open.
Yeah.
Hey,
so,
can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, I wanted to say something. That was my show track. So if you didn't hear any lyrics, that's because I might have sent you the show track. So hopefully you were singing along. But if anyone wants to hear the song, they can go to YouTube and just type in IG My Shoe Game, Idy Da Vine.
Oh, man. With the lyrics. Get for iTunes. Don't just get that one. Buy all of it.
There we go. Yes. Yes, ma'am. And also, the question to win the shoes that I have, these Reebok Classics, these floral limited editions, size 8.5, is I have a video and a song called GTFOH. I don't know if I can say that on air, but in the video, at the end of the video, I find something, and that is the question. What do I find at the end of the video in GTFOH? That's the
question. Look it up.
Yeah. It's on YouTube.
Don't know.
It's called
GTFOH. I don't know whether they had to do something or whatever, but we still have some callers left. So I have caller. As soon as I said that. Okay, new caller. I have 2752 is your last four digits. 2762. Caller, you are now open. Caller 2762.
I don't know. They get scared? Are they on mute?
No.
Uh-oh.
They're not on mute. Will? Oh, okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Caller 2762. You're on with Miss Idy Da Vine.
Hello. I cannot really hear you.
The bad connection.
Yeah.
Caller, do you have the show playing? Because if you do, that would be the problem. You have to turn the show off or down, and then try to.
It sounds like he might possibly be on a Bluetooth or something.
Mhm.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get off the Bluetooth and talk directly into the phone.
We're trying to multitask.
Okay, well, we gotta try again. Try to call back in. Try it again. Let's see what happens.
All right, I'll put that number out there for you again. That number is 347-205-9920. No profanity, please, but please call in and ask Ida a question. She bites, but only if you don't call in.
Right, exactly. There we go.
They get it together.
Well,
in the meantime, Ida, listen, I'm on my shoe game, right? So you have me walking around here going, I'm on my shoe game. Tell our callers how to our listeners how to get in touch with you or how to follow you on social media. How would they stay on breath with the Idy Da Vine thing going on right now? Cause I'm on my shoe thing.
And stay on it, honey. Stay on it. They can find me on Instagram at Idy Da Vine TV.
That's on Instagram, IDADIVINE. It's Ida Divine TV on Instagram. I post videos. I actually have done a Betty Wap parody, on Instagram, and I do different things, and I just show people what I'm doing, what I'm up to next. On Facebook, I'm at Ida Divine on Facebook, and I'm on Bandcamp as well at Ida Divine, and Reverb Nation, of course, so Reverb will have where my upcoming shows are. And I do have an album coming out. I know you guys didn't ask me this yet. I'm just going to put it out there because I just found out about 2 weeks ago that the album that I've been working on for over a year is going to come out this fall. So in the next couple of weeks, I'll have my sophomore album coming up called To the Top. And that was produced by Herb Middleton, who is responsible for Kelly Price, Mary J. Blige, Nas. He's done things with Mariah Carey, Ann Nesby. I'm really excited because he is a Grammy-nominated producer, and he is also responsible for Bad Boy's earliest music with Faith Evans and Mary and Total 112. So I'm really excited because that sound is what is... That sound is undeniable as well. So in the next couple of weeks, my album will be released. It'll be released in the UK first and then here. And I'll of course, keep that posted on all my social media sites where you can pick it up.
Great.
Okay.
Right now, Ida is going to stay with us. We'll be back, and we'll be discussing when we come back after this last song, Astral Projection. This is actually my favorite song. After this song, we'll be back, and she's going to join us in our Hot Topic. All right.
Yes.
Come on.
is my joint right now. That is my song. I love that song. That is my anthem. Everything for a reason. Everything. Thank you. Thank you for that
Thank
song.
You.
Thank you personally.
Thank you for saying it.
Oh, man, you're welcome. We're back, and I'm sorry, I stepped all over you, Al.
That's
We're
okay.
Back.
I love you to death.
I love you. Al, go on and finish up for me. What's
okay.
going on?
It tells magazine filmmaker creates hashtag how it feels to be black. A black girl to give black girls a voice in society. Zoe Travis says that she was denied audition for the Black Knight, quote unquote, to Urban when she said she never related to black culture.
While Rachel Doza say she identifies as black, quote, I'm not confused about that any longer.
What did y'all think about all of that? That was a lot, but it was all tied together. A lot started off. Cause I really, when I first read, saw the title about Zoe Kravitz, I was thinking something totally like they led me to believe that. But then when I read the article, I'm like, oh, okay. I understand. So, obviously, Zoe Kravitz grew up privileged, and she didn't necessarily grow up in the urban community. And she's saying as she was growing up that the urban community she didn't relate to because she didn't grow up in it. And what she saw on TV, the way they masked, I should say the black community, the way they masked us on TV, she... had her idea of what black culture was. And so she felt like she related more to the white culture growing up because she liked a lot of things that her friends or people around her were into because that's what she grew up in. But she said as she got older, she learned that black culture was about respecting your elders, cherishing who you are, even in the house, even though she had a maid and everything, her parents still instilled in her to have chores and things like that. And so I was real refreshed to hear that. But there are still black women who maybe didn't grow up, in the environment surrounded around other blacks, and they might feel disconnected when it comes to black culture. But on the other hand, the other lady, what is her name? Somebody help me out.
Rachel Dozell.
Miss Rachel Dozell is a white woman that totally she's like, and the article is calling her crazy. Now, I don't agree with calling her crazy.
I don't think she was crazy.
I don't know.
I don't think so either. Come on, Kim, Lauren, somebody tell us why y'all don't think she's crazy, because I don't think she's crazy.
Lauren,
I do.
Do you? Let's start there. Why?
You have two white parents. I don't know where their lineage is from. I'm going to go ahead and say by looking at the nose, maybe they're from somewhere in Eastern European or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that her parents raised her around a lot of black people. What I think is that she may have been one of those white girls who really just wanted to be a part of what we have going on. And she just, like they mostly do, just attach themselves to it. I think that she does not or does not want to relate to who she is and where her lineage is from because her parents come from a specific place. So in that, I think people like that have some type of identity crisis or identity I don't know the word, but they just disconnect with who they are in their lineage and their blood. Now, my mother is Jamaican. My mother's mother was born in Jamaica and has lineage to Scottish. And my dad's side is Cuban, and he has lineage to Mississippi. So knowing where your people come from can really tell you who you are. But if you have none of that, it's like me connecting to a Hawaiian culture. Like, I have nobody in my line that connects to that. So I do, I mean, crazy is a strong word, like Dave Chappelle says, but I definitely think that she is not able to connect to who she is and her DNA. And that, and DNA and science is real. I mean, you know, you could put braids in your hair and get booty shots all day, but you don't have any African in your line at all. That's my, you know. And I just think that she should at least, okay, you can love us, but you're not. It's not in your blood. That's real. That's science.
Miss Ida Law, pretty damn. What everybody else has to say, because I do have something that's totally in left field, but go go ahead, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since nobody's talking quick enough, let me say, I thought about this. I was looking at her, and I was looking at the things that she's done for the African-American community as she worked in the NAACP. She was the director over everything, basically, in her region. And she moved, and no one knew that she was white. No one could feel or had any clue that she was white. She married. I'm sure he probably knew. I'm sure she shared that with him. But no one, her friends, no one knew. She totally disconnected herself from white society, including her parents. And they got mad and busted and called someone and told on her, basically, which I think is like, what parent ruins your child in media and, you know, society for life? Like, she's totally ruined and considered crazy. They ruined her, you know, and now she's has to come back. Now, I'm kind of flattered. I ain't gonna lie. I'm flattered by it. I'm flattered by it. I'm like, yes. Somebody, at least somebody is admitting. But then I started to think, and, you know, I have a sensitivity to people who are going through transgender. They just feel like they were born in the wrong body, and some people accept it, some people don't. I personally feel like maybe it's true, because some of the people that I've met, I can't get any male, well, mostly men that I've met. I've never met a woman that was transgender. But the men, I can't feel any masculine in them. And I'm inclined to believe maybe they, you know, maybe since they could remember, they never felt like they were in the right body until they made that switch. So is it a such thing as trans race?
No. I'll say no. Oh my God! I just don't get it. I don't get it. It don't click in my head. I can't get it. How in the world that could be possible? Are you kidding me? I just don't get it.
Come on,
I don't get it.
She went as far as adopting black children.
Yeah.
I just find she's sick. Maybe, you know, you know, something's wrong with her. She's sick. I feel sorry
anybody
for
anybody else? Unique, what you feeling?
Unique, your mute button.
Lauren?
Lauren's call dropped.
All right, well, you know.
Well, look.
Al,
you were going to say something?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
This way, I don't think she's crazy. I do agree with the identity crisis thing. But this lady, for the last, 30 years, really? Because she went to all-black college. She went right to the NAACP. Well, not right, but she became a teacher. She had to fight for that. I believe she honestly identified or thought that she was black in her heart. It didn't really have to do with the color of her skin. In her heart, she honestly believed she was a black woman. So I don't quite go with the trans race thing, but I do feel something along the course of her life made her want to identify and stay in our culture. I'm a little flattered. I'm a little flattered personally. You want to be black? Welcome to the struggle. Thank you for all that you've done in the work that you, in the position that you had. But for them to take it to, oh, she's crazy, she's blindsided America. She's not only blindsided America with what she's blindsided herself, but she identifies. She identifies with it wholeheartedly to the point where she's adopted two black children. She took on a head position at NAACP. Everything she done has done in the last couple of years has been truly beneficial for her.
Most of her life.
Most of her, exactly. But for the black community, she's never not once not turned her back and said, oh, well, I'm really a white girl on the inside, so I'm not going to push that button for y'all. But she's really identified with it. She lives it. She believes it. So,
And, you know, as a black woman, Kim, we know the struggles as black women that we have to deal with. She went and flip-flopped, you know, where we could say, oh, she could have easy. She could have went and worked for the NAACP as a white woman and got everything she got much easier.
Yeah.
But she went and she did everything as a black woman and still was successful, you know, which took down for us that being black, you can't be extremely successful. She put on a makeup of a black woman and did everything she ever wanted to do. Now, it was taken from her because they found out she was something else. But she did everything she wanted to do as a black woman. And I think that is more of a story than that she's crazy. It's like,
I think she wanted to experience it.
Go ahead,
Ms. Ryder.
I think that she wanted to get as close as possible to experiencing what it would be like to be a black woman. Now I'm going to go to the left field here, and I don't know this woman, but our sister Sandra Bland, who lost her life, I'm going to go ahead. Yes, rest in power, Queen.
Amen.
I don't know if Rachel had been, you know, in this situation, would she see this as, okay, now it's time to be white, because obviously they think I'm a black woman and I don't want to be treated like that. We know that white women don't get treated like that from law enforcement. So, I mean, this is all speculation. I don't know if she would have went that far with the struggle as experiencing us, you know what I mean? Even, you know, Sandra was who she was, and she was unapologetically, you know, a black woman, you know? I don't know how far Rachel would have gone, or, you know what I mean? She obviously she's a businesswoman, but we don't know if she was like a revolutionary, you know what I mean? And, you know, like that's just a left field thing.
We would have to read up on her and really find out. Like, I would like to have her on the show. I don't know. I really don't.
Right.
I think she would have went all in with the struggle, and I say that because of how she handled not getting a position, the teaching position at the university she applied for. She went all the way through court, all the way with everything as a black woman, and then they kind of found out, you know, after a while that she wasn't black, but she was filing this case as a black woman. She did not want to lose that identity of herself. So to answer your question or to go left field with you, Ida, I honestly think for what she was trying to do with her own life, I think she would have portrayed, I think she would have went ahead and portrayed that whole situation also as a black woman as well.
I mean, as far as she went, you know, visibly with, you know, her image or whatever, I'm going to agree with you there. Because she went there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
She went there.
Yeah. She really went there. And it wasn't just
she sure did.
She with the court and all. And I just, you know, I want to say, you know what? You know, people, we have certain, sometimes beliefs, you know, different beliefs or whatever will cause us to be really judgy or whatever. But you are who you say you are. That's
right.
You say you black, you black. You know, you believe whatever you say you believe you are. You say you're black. You say you are. You are a star. You black, you black, you white, you white. Whatever you believe, you are. Zoe, we didn't really talk about Zoe. But let's talk about her for a minute. You know, there are a lot of us, we meet them in the streets all the time, who, you know, you can tell, like, you would say, oh, she doesn't talk black, or whatever you want to say. But they have to be, to grow up being a minority, you know, black in situations and things, you still have to be strong. You still have to, endure, even though you might be, quote unquote, accepted into certain worlds or whatever, because you don't talk a certain way or you don't listen to certain music or whatever. At the end of the day, they still see you as a black woman. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice to see the end of that article, that she recognized that black culture was beyond what the media shows everyone who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask everyone, including Ida Devine, I want to ask everyone, how has the media affected your image, your self-image of yourself, each one of us, you know? How has the media affected you as a black woman? I'll start with Ida.
Okay. One of my earliest, like, kind of memories is, like, the Barbie commercials in the 80s. And just not seeing us, you know, not seeing me in those Barbie commercials, and just having a whole bunch of white Barbie dolls, and then when you do get a black Barbie doll, the hair is like the white Barbie doll but black. But I know my hair doesn't lay down like that. So I think from you know, and this is early on in the 80s where we weren't really portrayed in just toys and things like that. And it just made me feel like I needed to perm my hair. I needed my hair to lay down, because my hair, the way it was growing out my head, was not right. I'm glad that this natural hair revolution has come, because I think we really needed that to be accepted, to know that our hair is accepted. So I want to start with the hair thing, because that, I think that was one of our issues, and not even knowing that our hair is beautiful the way that it is. So I think the media was a big part of us accepting our hair. Right. And now they only want natural hair artists or natural hair actresses. And, you know, you have to have a natural look now. So we've actually changed the industry to for them to accept us the way we are, because we obviously are putting a dent in the perm and the chemical business. And the beauty business, in not, you know, buying chemicals and just using our stuff, you know. So I think the hair thing was a huge thing in media for me.
That is, I would even did all that. Kim, you need Al.
Oh, I'll agree with the hair thing. I don't have nothing else that I can kind of think of. I mean, it's probably a whole lot of stuff that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think the big thing is the hair thing. I mean, because we come and everybody is just about natural now, and I agree with the chemicals and stuff like that. So, you know, we thought we had to have straight hair to be a part.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So now that we're being natural now, so I really appreciate that natural thing, you know. It saves me some money, too.
You ain't lying, honey.
Yeah, we spend a lot of money. Even in natural hair now, we spend a lot of money, but it's very interesting how during the Great Depression, the Jewish community got together and created the great entertainment industry that we see now in New York City. And with that, the ads and things started, the cartoon ads and things started coming out, because they didn't have so much photography going on. But I got to see, there's a book by Christina Donaldson from Thank God I'm Natural. had the privilege of interviewing her, and she sent me her book, and I got to see pages and pages of old ads that she had displayed in her book where the ads were saying, if you want to get a good job, buy this perm. And they were directed towards black
people. Oh, my goodness.
To buy perms back during the 20s and so forth. Now she's Jay Walker, then came out with the pressing comb during that time to help keep women get jobs. And no fight against Madam C.J. Walker. That was something that we had to do during that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, like you said, how we have evolved. I've had my natural sleep going on 20
yeah.
years
mm-hmm.
now. And it's really something to be able to go into my corporate HR
yeah.
department. There's an office among people who used to wouldn't accept that. And
yeah.
now they don't think anything.
yeah, they don't think anything. They just, they'd love it. They want to touch it, you know.
They want to touch it, want to know how you get your hair to do that.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. And even black women, we are learning more about our hair, because before we try to comb it like, you know, everyone else combing with those thin combs, and you know,
mm-hmm.
so it's been quite a journey. To me, I wouldn't want to be a black man. I wouldn't want to be a white woman. I wouldn't want to be anything. I really enjoy being a black woman because the tests and trials are so climactic when
absolutely.
I really experience my life, you know. So
I agree.
And you know what?
I
think sometimes I even look a little lesbianish because I enjoy the beauty of black women. I
yeah.
do. I really do. I really, sometimes I'm on a train and I see, you know, if I ever saw you on a train, you might see me looking at you and, you know, Kim, I'm they're so beautiful. We're so beautiful.
We
like,
are beautiful. I totally agree with what you say. Sometimes I'll look at a sister, I'll just look at her hair or her clothes or something. I'll just be like, look at us. You know?
Mm-mm.
Look at
okay.
us.
Yes. And that's it.
Well,
you
man.
You got
two vases.
With
two vases. What did you say, Al?
And I'm in. I'm just real comfortable with who I am. And I'm glad
yeah.
about who I am. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad to be
yeah.
black. I've
mm-hmm.
learned and experienced a whole lot of things I don't think I would have experienced if I was white.
Right.
You know.
I agree.
It's the truth. The show is almost over.
Oh,
we
no.
We do got warmed up. I ain't gonna lie, Ida. I was nervous before the show. I read your bio. I had a lot going. I read your bio. I'm just real. That's how I do when I get home. I read your bio. I said, Oh my God. I wish I had talked to her before the show, you know? It was really
yeah.
fun. But, man, this sister has really great music. You really want to go to her SoundCloud. I didn't find SoundCloud. Look her up. I just Google Ida Devine. Ain't her stuff
that's
comes
it.
Up.
Yeah.
When you just
everything will come up. Yeah.
Everything will come up. And her everything is top notch. She's not no raggedy. It's not raggedy. Her music, her music videos, everything is top notch. Top notch.
Wow.
The only difference is they're not playing the mainstream. But mainstream
yeah.
is missing out. But they won't for long because I can feel that you are going to, I told my cast already, I said, she's going to be big. No matter what, she's going to be, you're going to catch. You've only been
yeah.
in the industry 6 years. You've
yeah.
done 20 or 30 years worth of, not just that, just your talent sounds like you've been moving for at least 20 to 30 years. And you're not
yeah.
even old enough to be moving out there long. So
well,
pass off to you. Anything you
well,
want to add
thank
before
you guys.
We, okay.
Yeah, definitely. I want to thank NYC Today and the staff of these beautiful women who have shared this conversation with me and allowed me to express myself and play my music and just, you know, have a great dialogue on this Saturday. And I love you ladies. And thank you for having me. Thank you.
Oh,
you're thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, we are out. We hey, this is going to be on record forever, so you can come back and listen to it as many times as you want. Miss Ida Devine, don't forget to like her Facebook page and, you know, join her on Reverb Nation and Facebook and the Bandcamp. Don't forget, and especially don't, you missed out on the shoes. You missed
out on the
shoes.
I'm going to post, yeah, I'm going to post it on my Instagram and Facebook and just have whoever's following me win them. So you can still win them, but you just go on social media and answer the question. So.
All right, so now you heard it straight to her. Go on her Instagram, answer the question, and you will have an opportunity to win those shoes. They're really nice shoes. Win those shoes, size 8, Reebok, floral, am I saying it right?
Collector's
edition.
Collector's edition.
Yeah, classic.
Yeah.
So that's how she do. And this is how we do. We love you. Everybody say, keep out.
Peace out. Thank
Peace
you so
out.
Much. Bye-bye.
You are. Bye.
Our time is up. We'll be back next week. But if you've acquired an addiction,
you can't. You can't give in. You can't give in!
I love NYC today. Oh, my God. I just love you guys.
Okay, go ahead then. Follow NYC Today Live Talk Radio now.
Push it! Push it! You can do it! Push the blue button!
And follow us everywhere.